Bruce Williamson is from the pressure group Rail Future, and he joins me now. Bruce, these latest figures don't come as a surprise, do they? Are they justifiable, though?
In what sense? I mean, no, they don't come as a surprise. Do you mean the fares should go up?
Well, if we want better train lines, better trains, then fares have to go up, presumably. Investment costs.
It does indeed cost, and there's no getting away from the fact that if you want a decent railway, you have to pay for it one way or another. The question is really how you pay for it. And if you're dumping so much of the cost onto the passenger through the fares, then all that's going to do is deter people from travelling by train, which is, you know, madness, really. And contrast that with what George Osborne has done in the last few budgets, where he's frozen fuel duty. The cost of oil is falling. It's making motoring cheaper. It's driving people off the trains and onto the roads.
What's the answer for you?
Well, I think the answer is that the fares need to be capped to CPI, which is the inflation figure that the government pretends that they prefer, and that's the one you saw in the headlines today, 0.1%. And they use that for most calculations, for things like pensions and benefits. But when it comes to rail fares, they use the much higher RPI figure. And that's why I agree with the campaign for better transport, you know, that the gap between people's earnings and the cost of rail travel is growing and continuing to grow because of this anomaly. So fare rises need to be based on CPI.
Isn't one of the other main issues here that we've got the privatisation of the rail companies, and ultimately rail companies are always going to be, like any other company, driven by profit rather than the happiness of their passengers?
Well, that's certainly true, although to be fair to the rail companies, they make relatively small profits and they run a fairly tight ship. The real issue with privatisation is the complexity of the network and the fragmentation of the industry. So you have so many different contractors, different organisations, all billing each other, all hiring lawyers to draw up contracts between each other. And that sort of bureaucracy that privatisation has brought is one of the major factors in adding costs to the network.
So you mean where, you know, one company is responsible for one bit of track and somebody else is responsible for another bit, that kind of thing?
Exactly. So you've got Network Rail, you've got the train operating companies, you've got the train leasing companies. The train operating companies don't own the trains. Many people don't know that. God knows how many other contractors are involved all across it. Yeah, it's a very, very complex system.
Based on what you've said then, for you, is renationalisation of the railways a viable option?
It's certainly a viable option. I'm not necessarily sure it would be the answer. Sorry, clear it would be the answer to all our ills, but it certainly would remove, you know, some of these anomalies I'm talking about. This level of bureaucracy. And here's the bizarre thing: we've supposedly got a privatised railway, but many of the contractors who win the franchises are the nationalised state railway companies of France and Germany and the Netherlands. So, you know, all we're doing really is we're privatising our railway to a nationalised industry in another country, which it kind of defeats the object. It's a bit silly.
We're talking of Europe. We're often, you know, told, and it's often quoted, that Europe gets it so much better and it's right the way they run their railways, and we should adopt that model. What are they doing that is so much better?
They're simply investing in their railways. They recognise the long-term value and the if you like, the hidden value to the economy that rail transport brings. You know, it's not just about the people who actually travel on the train. It's the people who are stuck in cars that are less congested because everyone else is on the train. It's the environmental factors. It's the quality of life factors. It's so many more things that the European governments invest in, whereas this government is still hell-bent on dumping more and more of the cost onto the passenger and supporting the railways less.
Do you feel there's going to come a point where people just cannot afford the train? They'll be priced out?
I think it's probably happening already. But yeah, quite clearly, you know, if prices keep going up and up and up in real terms and taking an ever larger chunk of your income, that's not sustainable and something has to give. But actually, like I say, you know, I suspect that this pricing people off the railways is a semi-deliberate policy, because we have another major problem on the railway with congestion, you know, and overcrowding. And, and the amount of new trains that is being bought is barely catching up with the increasing demand for the railway. So, you know, a cynic would say, you know, the government is quite happy to price people off the railways.
There are other ideas in place, aren't there? I was hearing about tax breaks for car sharing and that sort of thing. So there are alternative ways of travelling.
Oh, certainly, yeah. And the railways are always in competition with, you know, the cars and coaches and trains and cycling and walking. Mm. And you know, there's transport policy is much wider than just the railways. But I think where successive governments have failed us is having joined up thinking. You know, do the buses meet the trains at the railway station? Are they timed to coincide with the trains? If you privatise the buses and don't manage the buses, then they'll turn up when they like, which is probably when the passengers aren't there. You know, and so all these things help contribute to making an integrated transport system that works. And that's partly why our system isn't very good, because it isn't very integrated.
Well, Bruce, thank you for talking to us. There are some days you can't win. I publicly dumped on air Junction 11 of the M1 today because I was stuck there for about an hour. So, you know, rails or roads, sometimes we just cannot win.
We can't win, no.
Bruce, thank you for talking to us. Bruce Williamson there from the Pressure Group Rail Future.